As we come upon the 18th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, many young adults now don't know much about the attacks or how the culture changed afterward. Tallahassee native Christina Ray Stanton has been a resident of New York City for more than 25 years. She recently published a book about her experience on 9/11 and how it transformed her life. Her book details how she escaped in bare feet and pajamas with her husband and dog. Their apartment was just 6 blocks from the Twin Towers. She also writes about the healing she found in Tallahassee. Christina, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Gina.
So the first thing that struck me about your description of trying to get away from the towers is that it seemed absolutely terrifying and at times hopeless.
Yes, the sense of feeling trapped is utterly terrifying. And also, we did kind of catch a glimpse of how your body reacts when it thinks it's going to be asphyxiated. Again, a terrifying experience.
Yeah. So you described this thick yellow, it was powdery and gooey at the same time, this substance that blanketed Manhattan as the towers came down. It was so descriptive, I actually felt like panicking. Like I had to pull back from the page for a minute and realize that I'm not in it. And she's not in it anymore either. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, as you know, it was the dust from the towers coming down and what the towers produced in a crushed form. So within that dust was ground up glass and ground up furniture, and it was covering you and getting into, for instance, your eyes. And so right away, my eyes felt prickly or sharp or something was in them. And, you know, your first reaction when you feel like something's in your eyes is you want to rub it. But something in me said, don't do that. Don't touch it. If I do that, it might hurt me. And as it turns out, a lot of people did have that kind of normal reaction to rub their eyes, and they had scratches on their retinas, and they had to get all kinds of care afterwards with that. But yes, it was basically ground up everything that was in that building and toxic and covering everything. It felt like you were in the middle of like you were in a terrarium, or like if you were in a snow globe.
Mm-hmm. Into your lungs also, this stuff
exactly.
Went, which we'll talk about that. And you also mentioned in the book that it was everything in the building, including people.
This was the
stuff that wound up in this substance.
Yes.
So you and your husband and your dog became part of this great boat lift.
Right.
That really is an incredible story just in itself. Talk a little bit about that.
The Coast Guard saw that people were pooling at the coastline of Manhattan because, of course, Manhattan is an island, and the financial district or lower Manhattan is surrounded by the coast. So the Coast Guard could see that thousands of people were pooling at the very edge of Manhattan and were screaming to get off. We all felt trapped down there. So there was this wonderful kind of sub-story of the whole 9/11 story where the Coast Guard sent out a call saying, hey, anything that floats, bring it over to Manhattan and start picking people up off of the coastline and just drop them off somewhere. And actually, I have found so few people are familiar with this story. I'd like to recommend a very short documentary called Boat Lift, and it's narrated by Tom Hanks, and it's on YouTube. And it's, again, just 10 minutes. But it's a wonderful, actually heartwarming story that came out of 9/11. But 500,000 people were taken off the island all day. In fact, boats made trips literally all day. The particular boat that got us, if you saw the movie Sully, was one of those white New York Waterway commuter line boats. So that is the one that took us off the island in particular. And actually, our boat dropped us off in New Jersey.
Yes, some years ago, that boat lift documentary was making the rounds on social media.
Yes.
And it was so touching to me.
Yes.
To me, where they say, look, all of these boat captains were going toward the tragedy. They didn't know what was going to happen next, and they just went. And it was extremely moving.
It's a wonderful story.
Yeah. So you wind up in New Jersey for a couple of days, and those were remarkable days. And we won't go into details because people need to read your book.
Right.
But a few weeks after 9/11, you're back home in your apartment, and there's no money coming in.
Right.
It's time to figure out, well, how are we going to pay the bills? So you wind up. A friend encouraged you to seek help from Redeemer Presbyterian Church. And so you did that. And that wound up being a turning point in your whole life. It became a huge part of your life, you and your husband.
Yes. So we were newlyweds, about a year and a half, and we had not found a church to go to as of yet. And so my best friend said, hey, I go to a church where people from around the world donated money to distribute to victims like yourself. And why don't you go to the church and get some money? We certainly had lots of bills at that point. We had a vet bill because it cost, actually, it turns out, thousands of dollars trying to keep our dog alive after 9/11 because he was so affected by the dust and it affected his health. And I was like, Michelle, I can't go to this church. We don't go to this church. I'm used to giving money to churches and to nonprofits to help others. I'm not, certainly not used to receiving that help. And there are people who are worse off than us. And she was like, get over there. And she motivated me to do that. And so I did. And they handled it with such dignity. I felt like, you know, a church that is, that for one thing, people are investing in because they believe in what they're doing and that they would distribute it well. And they were so wonderful to me. We're going to check this church out. And it has. It's changed our lives. It's our community. And both my husband and I actually now work there. So it definitely went from very humble beginnings of how we came to the church to now it's all a huge part of our lives.
Let's jump ahead now. A couple of months after 9/11, you've been living in Manhattan. And things are trying to get back to normal, right? Mm. But things are still a little bit weird. So you come to Tallahassee and you found some normalcy here.
Right. We were right off the bat suffering from PTSD. And we were just kind of coming up against different walls in New York. We just couldn't move forward in any way. And so it was my idea, and Brian seconded in the motion very quickly that, hey, let's just get out of here and get a break. So we rented a car and drove down the country to get to Tallahassee. And I even talk about that road trip. We went through Gatlinburg of all places, and I was so heartened to see that the rest of the country was having such a huge reaction to 9/11 because I was in my own bubble, my own little world up in New York post attacks. So it was actually very healing just the road trip down to Tallahassee to see that the country was so upset and behind New York and the cities where the attacks had impacted so much. And in Tallahassee, it was just so nice to be my childhood home. Mother has a swing on her front porch. I heard birds instead of sirens. I was smelling clean air instead of air that was toxic like I'd been smelling in New York. I'm going to the Governor's Square Mall and being able to just walk around and see people who had a smile on their face, and no one had a smile on their face in Manhattan after the attacks. It was a healing contrast, and it's something we definitely needed.
You talk about getting emails from friends in various areas of the country, and they didn't understand what you were really going through. Like, right. So I think somebody told you to snap out of it kind of thing.
Yes, that's true.
You know, just get over this depression and PTSD you're feeling. Talk a little bit about understanding that people that you care about really didn't understand what you were going through.
Yeah, well, too many people tried to tell me things like, well, you survived, so be happy. I mean, it takes time and patience and often professional help to deal with trauma. So in the book, I wanted to give a realistic picture of what stress and violence and terror does to people and how those effects can linger much longer than people realize.
Absolutely. So now you live blocks away from the 9/11 memorial. Also, you've said that you and your husband, Brian, may wind up being part of a new memorial.
The local government has realized that people suffering from effects of the toxin inhalation are dying. I think they've linked like over 60 cancers to 9/11 that people are suffering from, who were responders, who helped work on the pile, community residents. So there's so many people dying that they decided that they can't deal with names at all. So they already have a brand new memorial within the 9/11 memorial called Memorial Glade that has a nice plaque saying that people are sick and they're dying and they have been dying since the attacks. And this is a particular area to remember those victims.
And just to add, your health is being monitored regularly.
Yes.
Because of everything you inhaled.
Right.
And and you feel like, you've said you think that your days may be numbered because of that.
I do feel that way. Right after the attacks, I was diagnosed as having significant hearing loss from 9/11. And a lot of people have been diagnosed with that same issue. I also have been monitored for scarring on my lungs. And it's one of those things where my husband and I just kind of have this understanding that it might be a shorter life. But we also have a peace about it as well. We just really feel that when it's our time to go, it's our time to go. There's not much we can do about it at this point, just to live our best life now.
Yeah. So babies who were born in 2001, they're turning 18 this year, and they don't know a life before 9/11.
Right.
What would you want them to know?
We just want them to know that 9/11 changed how our country functioned in a lot of ways, and it affects them every day, whether they know it or not. And I really do have a passion for educating kids about this particular piece of history. And I'm really excited about this week going to 11 different schools in Tallahassee and even one school in Monticello and speaking to, I think, hundreds of kids about my experiences from a firsthand perspective.
So you'll be reading from your book at Midtown Reader tomorrow evening, and you also have some memorabilia you'll be showing off.
I'm actually a tour guide up in New York City, and I have some memorabilia that I show tourists so they can understand the site and the history of the attacks better. But I had a whole cache of other things that I've collected through the years immediately right after during the attacks, everything from posters that I saw hung up around town to pictures, postcards, newspapers from the day after and from weeks after. And so I decided to archive it and put it together. So after 18 years, it only took me 18 years to do it, but I have everything all lined up, and it's about 50 pieces of, I guess you'd call it a collection, that I'll be showing at Midtown Reader. I'm actually excited about people being interested in seeing it. I think people who are interested in 9/11 will find it interesting.
Okay, great. Any parting words, anything else you want to share with us?
This is the first 9/11 in 18 years that I haven't been in New York City. And I just can't think of any other place I'd rather remember that anniversary other than Tallahassee, if it's not New York. Tallahassee was a real place of healing for me and my husband when we came here for a respite after the attacks. And I love my hometown, and it's healing to be here even now. And I really appreciate the support I've gotten from a lot of Tallahasseans about my book. And so I wouldn't be any other place other than New York than Tallahassee.
Christina Ray Stanton's book is titled Out of the Shadow of 9/11, An Inspiring Tale of Escape and Transformation. And proceeds go to Loving All Nations. That's a charity you founded.
Yes. Loving All Nations is a nonprofit that I founded just about 2.5 years ago. And it came out of the mission trips that I'm the director of at my church, Redeemer Presbyterian Church. And I realized there's a lot of vulnerable people in the world who are not receiving help. And I just wanted a way to be able to help them. So I set this up, and it's been a real blessing.
Christina, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you, Gina.